I'll wake up late at night, I grab somebody's paper, grab somebody's pencil, I write down just the ballad line to some song on the upper half of a blank sheet of paper. Wake up years later in some other bed, set down the words to that very same ballad idea that struck me all those many beds ago. Well, it goes to figure you have to financially be able to afford a good many beds if you have any notion of ever becoming any kind of a folk ballad songwriter. But I never have understood the difference between a folk song and a ballad. You know, for my own uses, I've always just called a song a song. Never even heard the word folk song, well, till I hit New York in the snows of 41, and I've been one of the most confused men on the planet ever since. Never heard of no song called a folk song. I mean, every song there is by the folks and for the folks. I don't recall writing no songs for lions, tigers, elephants, chickens, nor wild animals of any kind. Whenever I did write a song, I was just following in the footsteps of my mother. See, our family was sort of divided up into two sides. You had Papa. Well, he bought all this equipment, kept piles of kids boxing and wrestling out in the backyard. He taught us never, and I do mean never, to allow any earthly human to scare us, bully us, or run it over us. Meanwhile, Mama, she taught us kids to sing all the old songs, and in her own way, she taught us over and over again to always try and see the world from the other fella's side. Songs meant a lot to her. She carried hundreds of them around in her head. She courted on the piano, and she sang the songs and told the history of our section of the country. It's pretty women and love affairs, it's cyclones and bad weathers and disasters, and it's outlaws. I was only following in the footsteps of my mother when I wrote this here song about Oklahoma's most famous outlaw. Come and gather all around me in a story I will tell about pretty boy Floyd the outlaw, Oklahoma knew him well. It was in the town of Shawnee, it was on a freezing day. King, with his wife right there beside him, in the town he rode. Deputy Sheriff approached him in a manner rather rude, speaking vulgar words of language, and his wife she overheard. Well, pretty boy grabbed a log chain, deputy grabbed his gun, and the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down, fled through the hills and woodlands to live a life of shame. Added to his name. They'll tell you of a stranger come to beg a meal. And underneath the napkin, leave $1,000 bill. And many a starving farmer, this same old story goes. How the outlaw paid the mortgage, and he saved their little home. It was Oklahoma City, it was on a Christmas day. Came a wagon load of groceries, and a letter that did say, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Well, here's Christmas dinner, for the family's on relief. It's through this world I've traveled, I've seen lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. And it's through this world you'll travel, it's through this world you'll go. You won't never see an outlaw drive a family from their home. So come and gather all around me, and a story I will tell about pretty boy Floyd the outlaw. Back years ago, as I seen how it worked on my mama, Nora, you know, pure noble in the science of medicine. And all you Koreanites like me, with all my good doctors and all my good nurses, all my good medicine, and all tell me by your looks, whispers, there ain't no hope nor cure known in the science of man to cure me of my destroyed enemy. And yet I still am glad that I did fall heir to my career, because, you see, it lets me stay drunk and dizzy all the time without paying my bartender one little blue cent. But I did see how odd it made Mama act to do around our house. I seen her a lot more every day than my daddy ever seen. Daddy'd wake up bright and early every morning, nibble down his little bit of a breakfast, saddle up his horse, and ride on off to his office down in town. As soon as he was gone, Mama would start to throw around all of her furniture. She'd toss around all of our fixings, all of our chairs and tables and dressers. She'd toss them around all over the house where she had one of her bad spells. Later, after her fit had worn herself off, gone off and left her, all of us kids would come out of hiding, help her get the house fixed up again, get it straightened up nice and pretty again. By the time we heard Papa's boots scrape on the front porch, supper time. I see my mama get worser and worser every little passing minute of all my passing years before I seen her get bad enough. And I mean really bad enough for the next door neighbors to get wind of what she done. Or even for my very own daddy to get very wise. I learned how, if not why, it is that my people spend a good 99.9% of their earthly hours here on my worldly planet just trying to hide the simple little facts and truth of life from one another. Take a trip with me in 1913 to Calumet, Michigan, in the Copper Country. I'll take you to a place called Italian Hall, and the miners are having their big Christmas ball. I'll take you in a door and up a high stair. Singing and dancing is heard everywhere. I'll let you shake hands with people you see, and watch the kids dance round the big Christmas tree. There's talking and laughing and songs in the air, and the spirit of Christmas is there everywhere. Before you know it, you're friends with us all, and you're dancing around and around in the hall. You ask about work and you ask about pay. They'll tell you they make less than a dollar a day, working their copper claims, risking their lives. So it's fun to spend Christmas with the children and wives. A little girl sits down by the Christmas tree lights to play the piano, so you gotta keep quiet. To hear all this fun, you would not realize that the copper boss thugman is milling outside. Copper boss thugs stuck their head in the door, and one of them yelled and he screamed, there's a fire. A lady, she hollered, there's no such a thing. Keep on with your party, there's no such a thing. A few people rushed, but it's only it's just the thugs and the scabs fooling you. A man grabbed his daughter and he carried her down, but the thugs held the door and they could not get out. Then others followed, about 100, but most everybody remained on the floor. The gun thugs laughed at their murderous joke, and the children were smothered on the stairs by the door. Terrible sight I never did see. We carried our children back up to their tree. The scabs outside still laughed at their spree. And the children that died, there were 70. Piano played a swell funeral tune, and the town was lit up by a cold Christmas moon. The parents, they cried, the miners, they moaned. See what your greed for money has done. Christ was a man who traveled through the land, hard-working man and brave. He said to the rich, give your goods to the poor, and the laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Jesus was a man, a carpenter by hand, carpenter true and brave. Dirty little coward named Judas Iscariot, laid Jesus Christ in his grave. To the hungry and the lame, he said that the poor would win in this world, and the laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Jesus was a man, a carpenter by hand, carpenter true and brave. A dirty little coward named Judas Iscariot, laid Jesus Christ in his grave. They left him there to die on a cross in the sky, in the thunder and the lightning and the rain. Judas Iscariot committed suicide when they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Jesus was a man, a carpenter by hand, carpenter true and brave. He said to the rich, give your goods to the poor, and they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. A rich man and a slave. Jesus was to preach like he preached at Galilee, would lay Jesus Christ in his grave. Jesus was a man, a